Welcome to the Sparked Podcast, a place to keep your spark bright. Here, I've brought together my most powerful tips from the last decade plus partnering with small businesses on all things leadership, mindset, people, and culture. Here, my approach combines intuitive psychology, strategy, neuroscience, and results-based coaching to unlock your highest potential. Step into your power and truly own your role as a leader so that you can spread the positive impacts of your purpose-led work everywhere. My name is Emma Campbell. I'm a mindset and performance coach for purpose-led leaders. I'm a mama to two cheeky little munchkins. I'm a wine appreciator, nature-obsessed, stubbornly optimistic child at heart. And I'm here to inspire belief in what's possible for you because it is all so possible. I hope that this podcast leaves you feeling lighter, more inspired, and more ready than ever to go out there and take actions on your big dreams and vision. I can't wait to dig in. See you in the podcast. Hello, hello. I'm so excited to introduce to you today our guest for the Purpose in Perth podcast series, Nick Hudson. Nick Hudson is the Australian of the Year for the 2024 WA Local Hero Awards. He's an international speaker. He's a mental health advocate and the founder of the Push-Up Challenge, which has become Australia's largest mental health online event. And through Nick's leadership, this push-up challenge, if you've heard of it, it's amazing, has motivated over 500,000 people and raised over $40 million for mental health. Like, isn't that amazing? Nick's journey of building the push-up challenge, it occurred alongside his own struggles with depression before and also after he had open heart surgery. So some pretty big moments in his life that taught him incredible and valuable lessons about resilience and motivation. And this is one of the reasons that I was so inspired by his story. And I think he just shines as such an example of how the dark times can actually become some of our greatest sources of growth, and that can actually propel our purpose in life in the craziest ways. And Nick and I actually first met during surf club. We're at Swanee Surf Club together. So he was one of my trainers, and he actually taught me how to rescue people in the surf and save lives. And I just remember him being the most loveliest, kindest human, and just made me feel so welcome and looked after at Swanee Surf Club. And I've been following his story for a long time, feeling so inspired, and just felt like he is a perfect example of how some of our biggest challenges, particularly in our early life, sometimes even in childhood, can actually set us up to develop our gifts and to help us pursue the work that we're actually here to do in the world, you know, what I call our purpose work. I just know that you'll love this chat. You'll feel so inspired, and no doubt you'll want to sign up for the push-up challenge, which, spoiler alert, you can do squats instead of push-ups if that's more of your jam. Enjoy the podcast. I'll see you in there. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Emma.
Happy to have you here. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm pretty well. I'm coming off my second round of COVID, actually.
That
sat in about 3 weeks ago. But it's just a new norm now, isn't it? Really?
Oh my gosh. 100%. Yeah, it's everywhere. Really? Yeah, it's just as common as the cold. I'm sorry to hear that. But thank you so much for being here. We are so excited. I would have just given our listeners a little bit of an intro as to you and your organization. But basically, Nick and I used to do surf club back in the day.
Yes, back in the day.
It's been a little while since I did that. And I've been following your story and your journey, and bloody hell, it's just so inspiring, and I'm so excited to have you on here. Do you want to start by just giving a, like, I don't know, a quick recap of what the push-up challenge is all about?
Sure.
And something that I love to hear about is like what sparked it? Like what was the spark that kind of led to you wanting to go down this incredible journey?
Yeah, happy to. So push-up challenge is an annual event that has people doing push-ups and engaging in mental health. So every year in June, we ask Australians to take on a set number of push-ups to have some chats about mental health, hopefully learn a little bit about mental health, connect with others, and also fundraise for mental health if that's their thing. So for instance, in 2024 in June, we'll be challenging participants to take on 3,249 push-ups,
My God.
which is, I know it sounds like a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot of push-ups. It's also a lot of lives lost to suicide. So as you might be aware, the target number is the number of Australians who took their own lives in the last measured year. So I often get people saying to me, Nick, it's a lot of push-ups. So yep, well, look, I agree. It's also a lot of lives lost. So we're trying to put the spotlight on mental health and on suicide prevention in Australia.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, what an incredible way to connect the actions that you're doing with the impact or the purpose and the reason behind it. I absolutely love that. What sparked this whole journey for you? Where did that come from?
Where'd it come from? Well, it kicked off about 7 years ago now. Oh, what'll be 8 years? There we go. 2024, right? So kicked off 8 years ago, where myself and a few mates decided to challenge each other to do a few push-ups to get ourselves fit over winter. So we took on a target that worked really well. And whilst it helped us get fit, whilst what we didn't expect is how well this little challenge we'd set ourselves would keep us connected. So yeah, during the day you'd be messaging a mate and saying, "Oh, how are your push-ups going?" And the conversation would start there, but then it would evolve into other things. It's, "Oh, how's work today? How's your partner, etc." So at the end of the event, the little challenge we set ourselves, we found that we were we'd kept connected over that time, which I think is like quite important when everyone's busy with life, whether it be work or family things. So it was an unintended consequence, and I thought, maybe there's something more in this. So I decided to put a bit more effort into it. Year two, we had about 1,000 people taking part across Australia, which was wild. And I thought, all right, well, that's pretty cool. Shortly after that, I had my own health scare and fell into a pretty heavy depression. And I used that as motivation at a point. It took me a while to get there, but I used that to help me righto, what else can I do in this space? So having been through depression myself, also my dad had a history of depression, which is its own story in itself. Thought, all right, let's do more here. So after hearing my dad's story, my own story, and then also losing a few mates to suicide over the years, I thought, all right, let's build this push-up challenge into something more. And it's just grown from there. That following year, we had 50,000 participants, and that was year three. And then we've just been through year seven, where we had over 200,000 people across Australia taking part, and raising close to $15 million for mental health. So it's gone. Yeah, I mean, I guess 7, 8 years is a long time, but
Probably flown by.
it's flown by, but we're really proud of what we've achieved over
Oh
that
my
time, and
gosh.
yeah, it's been wild.
Amazing, amazing. So it started with a few mates just wanting to get a little bit more fit.
Yes.
You went through a tricky sort of health challenge, which maybe I guess what I was hearing in there is it kind of like, reclarified the purpose
Yes.
and the power behind something like this. Like it sounds like it became something that was really needed for you in that moment. And I don't know, like one of the pieces that I heard in there is it sounds like it gave you a really strong sense of purpose in a time that was probably quite dark for you.
Absolutely. That you
100%.
articulated it better than than I have, or maybe could have. So it's going through this health scare. I had time off work, and I was bedbound for a period of time, and you know, there's only so much Netflix you can watch, right? And yeah, I thought, right, let's do something else here. So I guess I had the opportunity, had the bandwidth, having time off work, had the inspiration, and thought, right, let's give this a crack. Let's do something more with this.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And what it's transpired to is incredible. It's interesting just when you shared that, you know, that your dad had also shared struggled with a little bit of depression in the past. How does he feel about you running a challenge like this? Like
Well, very good question actually, because he kept, so dad and mum, they kept dad's depression a secret from my brother and I, their only two kids, for around 2 decades. So dad was quite ashamed of it, and you can imagine. So when was that? That's, well, going back on almost 30 years ago now, I guess, when he first sort of started struggling. You mentioned how mature Australia was in the mental health space, you know, 30 years ago, probably very, very different to today, right? So dad and mum decided to keep that on the down low, which put a lot of pressure on them, and so I dare say a lot of pressure on mum having to support dad, you know, by herself, without, you know, my brother and I helping, because we just didn't know. That all came out one night, in quite an emotional manner, and where, you know, we were told about, brother and I were told about dad's depression, and dad was, yeah, was still quite ashamed. And there was a period there of, hey, look, let's talk about this, and yeah, that took some time, and then I guess when I went through my own depression and was open with dad about that, helped him open up a bit more, and when I told him, oh, look, I'm going to grow this push up thing, to involve more people, he was, oh, okay, all right, that sounds interesting, and was supportive, but you know. At that point, I wasn't talking about him, I don't think. And then when it started to grow, when people like yourself started asking questions, I said, oh, dad, I'd love to be able to tell people about your own, you know, journey in this space. And he was initially reluctant, but after a few nudges from mum, saying, yeah, good for him, in terms of, yeah, his journey, you know, he's now very open with it, which is great.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. And would have taken a lot of courage from himself, yourself. It sounds like your mum was like a really incredible part of that whole journey as well. You know, that I think that's just so inspiring. As a bit of context, my family has a history of mental illness within it as well. And yeah, exactly as you say, like 20 to 30 years ago, it was a completely different world when it came to the mental health space. And there was a lot of secrecy and shaming and not talking about it. And as we all know, you know, shame only grows in the dark, right? As soon as you bring it out to the light, it's like it releases its power over people. And I think it's so wonderful how much more of an open space it is right now in the world, because I think that's a lot of like the purpose and the why behind the work that I do in my coaching and with the organizations that I work with, is, you know, always this drive to help people realize that they're not alone in their struggles, you know, like just to really normalize the fact that those voices that you have in your head, you know, those struggles that you're going through, I bet you there's like four people around you in your organization that you can just spot right now. They're all going through the exact same thing. And the more that we talk about it, the more that we can laugh about it, the more that we can support each other. So that's absolutely incredible. Amazing. Amazing. So what's like the ultimate impact that you would love to make through the work that you do, like the purpose, the mission? What are you ultimately striving towards?
Yeah, so we want to improve the mental fitness of Australia.
Oh,
We
yeah.
want to have people talking about mental health in a positive way, even more and more, year on year. And we want to have mental health embraced, discussed, and actioned, if you like, as much as physical health. So at the moment, a lot of people do a lot for the physical health, and as we know, there's a lot of activities you can do. A lot of physical activities you can do to help offset the chance of some pretty harsh diseases and health conditions. We believe it's the same in the mental health space. So what we want to do is encourage people to be proactive around their mental health. I think typically Australians have perhaps not nurtured their mental health until mental illness starts to show itself, and even then some people can find it hard to recognize and action appropriately. So we want people to start working on their mental fitness now, and everything that makes that up, all the pillars of that around diet and exercise and sleep and connection and time in nature and all those things, which might be different for different people in terms of how much of whatever they need. So we're hoping to make Australia a mentally fit country.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that word fitness, because fitness is something that feels really achievable to work on, right? Like when we think about our own like physical fitness, we think, yeah, we can actually go out there and we can do very practical, tangible things to help ourselves get that little bit stronger in the arms or the abs or the legs or whatever. But often when it comes to the brain or to the mind, because we can't see it, it can often seem quite intangible. So I love the word that, like, to use the word mental fitness there, because there are practical, tangible things that we can do to help our mental fitness as well. And it's just really about educating people on what they are, right?
Absolutely. And so I guess the other element of mental fitness is, if you don't keep at it, you can lose it, and you got to be
That's
conscious
true.
about it. So as with physical fitness, so it's a constant
So
thing you
true.
just need to chip away at.
So true. I often like to give my clients the analogy of, like, there's a little man in their brains, like actually lifting weights. Like whenever they do meditation, like imagine that there's
I
someone in your
love
brain that's actually
it.
working out, just as if you would like lift weights yourself. And I think it can really help, because often, we meditate once and we expect it to give us a six pack. Do you know what I mean? And how long does it take to get a six pack? I've never had a six pack, and I've been working out forever. So it takes a long time, but when you get there, like, the fitness is there, and then it's just about that maintenance mode. So that's so cool. So cool.
Absolutely.
So I guess on the whole, I guess, theme of the mind, and mindset is one of those terms that I use quite a lot for thinking about, like, the different beliefs that we hold in our brains and how we see the world. Is there any particular story or limiting belief that kind of like pops up for you as you're moving to that next level of growth? Like, we've all been introduced to our amazing inner critic that can, get a bit loud at certain times in our life, particularly when we're in times of fear. Do you have a story that tends to pop up for you, or hold, or has held you back in the past?
Think and that's a good question. I look back at younger Nick. And perhaps not a Nick in the early stages of his career. And I was quite, and I don't know, maybe it was the education system, or maybe it was just me, but I assumed that it was others that were going to make me grow. I assumed it was others that were going to help me learn or give me a promotion or enable me to achieve things. But it was only, later in my career that became so real to me how important it is to take responsibility yourself. And I know there's different schools of thought out this and out there about this, and it can get political quite quickly. But I'm now more than ever a firm believer of you need to take control of what you're doing. And look, I get it that there are people out there. I get it. There are people out there that are struggling. That and whether that is, whether that struggle is, in terms of a relationship or finances or health, and might need assistance from others. And we're lucky to live in a country like Australia that doesn't have perfect services. Certainly not perfect, but pretty good by world standards. Again, not saying we shouldn't improve them, but if anyone thinks Australia's bad, just go and live in 99% of other countries for a little while, just to see how good we do have it here in general. So it's lucky that we live in a country like Australia where we have some support things out there for people that need. I think that I look at what I've achieved over the last or 5 years in particular, and the mindset I had 10 years ago would no way have allowed me to achieve what I've done. The idea of it all comes down to you. So that's work, personal life, etc. It's all about you. And it's easy to point fingers and all that, sure. But if you don't, if you don't say, right, I'm responsible for this, then in my opinion, it could go off in a tangent that you don't want quite easily.
100%, 100%. I so get that. And I think that's so important that you've touched on that, because really the heart of change, of any form of change, has to start from that place, right? Of taking responsibility, and not only taking responsibility, but recognizing how much control you really do have. Because I think, yes, maybe it is society or the education system, whatever it is, but I think there can be some messaging around that, around our lives, that other people are in control of how we feel, or other people are in control of how much we evolve or grow, or how many promotions we get, or whatever it is. And the switch from, have you ever seen the sphere of influence, or the three different circles of control?
Yeah, love it.
Such a powerful one, to recognize that, like, really at the end of the day, the only core things that we have control over is what we say and what we do, and the different thoughts that we decide to engage with, right? Like, we can't always control all the thoughts and the emotions that go through our brain, but we can have control over which ones we decide to engage with. And often when people come back to that realization that actually at the end of the day, they are the only things that we have control over, so it makes sense that we put all of our focus and our effort onto those things. I think it can be a really, really empowering thing for people, rather than kind of like looking outside of themselves at all the things that they can't control.
What can you get? It'd be so stressful looking at those.
Oh my
So
God.
yeah, so that's a good point. So if you would take the philosophy of, it all comes down to you, and apply that inappropriately to aspects of life that are difficult, some might say impossible to control, then that's going to be a very stressful position to be in. And one example of that is this whole idea of well, not idea, it's reality of eco anxiety, which seems to be growing around particularly young children, young people being stressed around what the earth is going to be like in, you know, 10, 20, 50 years, and what they can do about it. And sure, there are some things that are hard to control, but there are some things we can do right now as individuals. And then there's things we can do as individuals to lobby others, corporate, government, etc. So if we focus on, yeah, sure, there's things out of our control, but what can I do myself now to help, you know, influence a a better outcome?
100%, 100%. Otherwise, it can definitely. I haven't heard of that term, eco anxiety, but it's such an interesting one. It can. That's when it can kind of like, you know, spiral into helplessness and powerlessness and anxiety and all of the things, right? So interesting. I don't know if you come across this, but I would imagine you would. When you've got like 3,324 push-ups to do, what was the new target?
3249.
3249.
Right.
What do you do or what do you say when you've got a community member or a participant who says, I can't do it? I can't do it. It's too hard. But how do you support them? How do you motivate or inspire them? Or what do you do in that moment?
Well, look, first of all, the event isn't for everyone. If they don't want to do it, that's quite okay. There's a bunch of other ways they can contribute to their own mental health, their own mental fitness, or the mental health of their wider community. So if they don't want to do it, that's quite okay.
Yeah.
What I would say, though, is that last year we had a five-year-old taking part, and we also had cute, right? And we also had, you get this, Emma, we also had a 105-year-old taking part.
What?
Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
105 did it, 105-year-old did it with the assistance of their PT. And we regularly get people, that's the first person over 100 we've had involved, but we regularly get people in their 80s and 90s who take on the challenge, and they just do alternatives. So it doesn't have to be full-on push-ups. It can be sit-ups, squats. My dad, who's in his 70s now, he does wall push-ups. Mum mixes it up among other things, so yeah, sit-ups, squats, etc. So it's a very very accessible event. And it is the push-up challenge. I get it.
Yeah.
But alternatives are encouraged to allow for, you know, I think we had a quadriplegic taking part actually a couple of years ago. So there's different formats you can take part in. So if 3249 isn't someone's cup of tea, we get it. If they don't want to do it, that's quite okay.
Yeah.
If they did and want to try and work out another way, well, there's some ways to you get through it.
Amazing, because that was one of my really important questions was, am I allowed to do knee push-ups?
Absolutely. And look, we have a lot of people who do knee push-ups, mix it up, a lot of people. Yeah. Or make graduate to a full push-up and then go back down. Yeah. So, you know, whatever suits.
So good. So you've achieved a lot over 7 years, like radical growth. Big ups to you. You've got a team of 15. I was just having a look at like your latest impact metrics. So in 2023, you had 215,000 people take part in the challenge, and you raised over $14.6 million for mental health. What the hell?
I know.
You've got school programs going on. You've got a whole array of different partnerships, like with Lifeline, and you've got people doing push-ups all over Australia, even Uluru. So first of all, just like celebrating the hell out of you and your team for all of that. What's the big vision? Like, what's next for the push-up challenge? Are you like going to go global? What does the next level look like?
So there's it's really exciting. It's really exciting.
Oh, I'm excited. Tell me.
Yeah. So there's two main things. Or maybe there's three. So So the first one is we want to make the events more effective. So when people come in, and as you said, we had over 200,000 participants last year. How many will get this year? Not sure. Hopefully, similar number would be great. How do we really impact them and set them up for success in the mental health space? How do we teach them some valuable things and get them to improve their own mental fitness and hopefully the mental fitness of their local community or their local network, or maybe just, a couple of people in their family or friends? So we really want to get deeper into helping people through the events. Helping sort of sounds like they need to be helped, but we want them to, which isn't necessarily the case, we want them to level up their mental fitness. And wherever they sit in the spectrum, we want to sort of help them just get, a little bit better at things. So that's something we're aiming for within the events. And we're working with, a few academics on that and mental health experts on that, which is really exciting. Because we've got, such a large, 215,000. It's close to 1% of the Australian population. So if we can impact those people in a positive way and perhaps get them to impact some people in their close network in a positive way, then we have the opportunity to really impact the mental health culture of the country, which is huge. And something, it's really cool. And something that inspires me and inspires the team, that we can have that sort of impact. The people doing push-ups, great. People getting to, doing physical activity, getting fit, all that, awesome. The funds raised for mental health, also awesome, and we're really proud of that. What we want to go deeper. We want to help people again, level up their mental fitness through the event. So that's one dimension. The other, so that's sort of within the individuals taking part. Another dimension is around our reach. So we had a lot of people in Australia taking part. How would this event potentially help out other countries? And we're actually now just halfway through our first events in another country, in Canada. So So we kicked that off a couple of weeks ago, and we have about 49,000 people taking part in Canada. Wild,
Think
wild.
for your first ever event. Oh my gosh, incredible. So it's already gone global.
So that's, I mean, a lot of a lot of effort to get to that point. And the team have done a fantastic job in enabling that. We've also managed to partner with a great organization in Canada who share the same sort of values and vision as us. So we're really excited about that as our first attempt at another country, and it's gone quite well. So I'd be interested to see how that goes in future years.
Oh my gosh, that is so
So
exciting.
it's pretty exciting. The third thing, which is people I touch, is with the funds we raised, how do we make sure that they continue to go to people who need it most? And they're already invested in a very smart way. How can we leverage those funds even further to make more of a difference? So we want to see every dollar raised being allocated in a purposeful way that makes the most difference. So that we're constantly focused on that. So they're sort of the three things that are on our sort of strategic radar at the moment, which myself and the team are very excited about.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, that's super exciting. Are you already doing like sign-ups that people can do as a team within workplaces, or like where workplaces can kind of sign up and do it like as a kind of like a fun health challenge?
Absolutely. So we're quite big in workplaces, schools, gyms, sporting clubs. It's a great way for them to connect, and also, to learn about mental health along the way.
So good. Well, I'll definitely be sharing it around with my network because I have quite a lot of partnerships with different organizations. And I feel like it's something that would be really, really appreciated and enjoyed.
Well, it's it depends on how much people like sore arms
It's
or legs
true.
or whatever they do. But look, it's free to take part, and
Yep.
it's easy to
Amazing.
get involved. So if people do want to
So
get
good.
involved in the June event in Australia, they should 100%.
Yeah, look, full transparency. I probably won't be doing push-ups. I'll probably do squats or something like that.
We hear this a bit, Emma. We hear this a bit, and that's quite okay. That's quite okay.
My God. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, Nick. It's been such a pleasure having you.
My pleasure, Emma. Thanks for having me.
Is there anything else that you want to leave us with, or anything you want to share apart from, I mean, I'll drop all of your links in terms of like the push-up challenge and like
Okay.
when should we start to sign up for the challenge in June?
Oh, people can register interest now if they like. I think full
Yeah,
registrations
excellent.
don't open until April. But if people are interested, they can register. If people are interested, they can register interest now or follow us on socials.
Yeah,
Push
amazing.
for better.
Oh,
Yeah.
so good. Push for better. Oh, so good. So good. Thank you so much.
No worries, Emma. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed, I would just love it if you took one little minute to leave a quick review or even to share this potty with a friend who you think might benefit from its message. It's honestly hearing your feedback that keeps me going and helps me spread the word to get in the ears of other people just like you who are going through similar challenges and keen for a little bit of inspiration. Thank you so much. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'll see you in the next podcast.